Good morning, everybody. You thought you were done with me after the music, but ha.
The joke's on you. You get me a double feature today. Today we're continuing on our series in Philippians. I want to start with a question. I've thought about this before, and I've asked some people before. What is the hardest part of following Jesus? What's the hardest thing when following Jesus that you can experience, maybe is another way to say that. What will rip out your heart and beat you up more than almost anything else? I was asking, what's the thing that will be, in your Christian life, the hardest thing to experience? And we might all have different answers to that question. But for me, personally, I would say the hardest thing to walk through is when those you've counted on, that are your brothers or sisters in Christ, you're close to, you're running with, you feel united with, when they decide to turn away. When they say, this is too hard, I'm done. Or when they say, you know, the thing that you thought we were running toward together, I'm not running toward that. We are never on the same page. I'm going a different direction. And they leave. I'd say for me, those moments, and those people I thought were going to run with me to the ends of the earth and following Christ and proclaiming him, when they left, those are some of the hardest times I've ever experienced. Ultimately, in our Christian walk, those we choose to run with, those we choose to look to, are going to be a great influence in our lives. Today we're talking about examples of some people in Scripture, some men who were devoted to Christ and who ran with endurance. They didn't quit. They didn't fall short. We're going to take a look at what is a godly example for us to follow, for us to partner with. What does it look like to have someone that we're really going to watch closely and try to imitate their lives? You know, ultimately, we're all in the world right now. My hope for this teaching today is to get our eyes off the world and onto the image of Christ that he has in his church. To stop looking at, how am I going to live my life? I'm going to look around at all the successful people I know or the people I want to be like that are making a lot of money or have everything I want in this life. But turn our eyes to, what is Christ's likeness in this world? What does it look like to be like Christ? I want to be like that. Who is it that is like Christ in this world that I can look to as an example? Ultimately, if your hope is in the world, or anyone who is pursuing a worldly thing, they're going to lead you astray, and you are going to be left disappointed at the end of your life. You're going to be left with regret. But boy, if up front in your life you choose to set your eyes on godly people and follow after them and say, I want to imitate that, then your life is going to be blessed. So here's our big thought for today. This is from Philippians chapter 2. Our big thought is, we imitate Christ by observing others. We imitate Christ by observing others. You might say, shouldn't we imitate Christ by observing Christ? Shouldn't we read about his life and figure out what Jesus was like and do that? And the answer is, duh, yeah. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be like Christ. That's our hope, is to have, as Christians, to grow and mature so that the world looks at us and they see Jesus. That's our hope. And the main way you do that is look at Jesus. But here's the thing. My wife and I were talking this morning, actually, and her comment is, how are you supposed to have your eyes on Jesus when you can't see Jesus? How do you do it? He's not here. He's not sitting in this room. He's not with you at home in a physical sense. He is in a spiritual sense. How can you imitate Jesus when you don't have a full picture of what he looks like? And our answer today is, you imitate Jesus by watching the lives of those who are close to Jesus. You imitate Jesus by observing godly people. You can say Christ is everything we need, and there is truth in that statement, but it's only a partial truth. Christ, in one sense, is not all we need. He fixed everything for us, but for our own growth, for our own filling out his mission in this world, there's other things we need. We need his Holy Spirit. We need his word. But we need each other as a church. We need each other. Christ didn't leave us alone. Christ didn't call us to lone wolf Christianity. He called us to being part of a body of believers with elders who are mature, who are an example, and brothers and sisters, some who are younger in the faith, some who are older, so we can observe and learn what does it look like to live like Christ in our world today. We imitate Christ by observing others. So, in our passage today, there were three examples. Three examples. The author, Paul, is talking about himself. He talks about pouring out his life. In fact, throughout scriptures, you can see Paul's example is very strong. He loved people. He loved Jesus more than anything, and he was on mission. He worked toward righteousness, but he also showed compassion to people. He's an example we're going to look a little bit at today. The next one was Timothy. Timothy was Paul's young disciple. It's likely that when Paul was on his first missionary journey in Asia Minor, Timothy had come to Christ. It seems like Paul had led him to Christ on that first journey. On the second journey, Paul came back through, and he said, Timothy, I want you to come with me. And everyone spoke highly of Timothy, so Timothy joined Paul on many of his travels, even to this church they started in Philippi. Timothy ends up being one of the most talked about second-generation disciples, like not the ones that walked with Jesus, but the ones that were discipled by someone else. One of the most prominent, most well-known disciples of Jesus, Timothy. And Paul in this section, he talks about Timothy and shares some really interesting things about him. So we're going to look a little bit at Timothy's example too. And the last one was Epaphroditus. You guys should name your children Epaphroditus. It's an exciting name. Actually, during the Roman Empire, it was a very common male name. After Aphrodite, it means one who is loved or lovely. Kind of meant handsome. You could just skip Epaphroditus and name your child handsome, preferably for boys, but you could name a girl handsome too if you wanted to. That's fine. Epaphroditus is only really mentioned in the book of Philippians, right here. And Paul lifts him up as an example to the Philippians. Why? Well, because they knew him. Epaphroditus was one of them. He had come from their church. He's most likely the one who brought the gift of money to Paul that Paul is writing this letter in thanks to. And it seems as though Epaphroditus went there. He showed up, gave Paul the money, and then he stuck around to minister to Paul's needs. And somewhere in the process had grown gravely ill to the point of almost dying. Almost dying for the sake of Christ. Ultimately, we don't just look at examples of men. What we're looking for is Christ in men. We're looking for people that exemplify the life Christ has called us to, the faith we're supposed to live out. Not a pattern of this is exactly how you do it, but more the principles of Christ-likeness looks like this. Live it out in your own life. Last week, we spent quite a while talking about how we need Jesus' example. We need the mind of Christ. And Paul, in his letter, he starts with that. It says, Jesus needs to be your foundation for who you are. But this next part continues on. Paul starts sharing about his example, Timothy's example, Epaphroditus' example, because we need the example of godly men, too. It's not the men we follow, it's Christ in them we follow. So here's my question for you today. Who do you look to in your life? Who are you observing and saying, I want to see their pattern of life. I want to understand their faith, the way they're living out Christ. We all do it. Every one of us, whether you know it or not, is patterning our lives off of someone else. Someone else in this world. The Bible actually talks about this, that people who don't know Christ are caught along in the course of this world, the pattern of this world, the example of those who went before them, to pursue power, or prestige, or money, or comfort, whatever it is. And maybe that's where some of us are. Our lives are patterned after worldly people. But today I want to walk through just three quick character qualities that come out of this section. Three things for us when we're observing other people to think, are these in their lives? Are they someone I should be observing and honoring? I should be wanting to hear what they have to say because I know they're going to follow Christ. So, I would also say, in case it isn't obvious, the goal is for you, every one of you, to become like Jesus, to mature into the fullness of what God has for you in Christ. And so these should be in your life too. And I pray that's true in our church, that these three character qualities would be growing in us. Ultimately, each one of these has to do with love. Love for others. Love for God. Every one of these is important. But the truth is they're fairly rare even in the church. They're very rare in this world. So let's take a look at these three character qualities of someone we would want to follow or someone we would want to be in being like Christ. The first one, we would want to be sacrificial. Sacrificial. Paul shares examples of people who sacrificed for others. They laid down what they wanted for someone else. To be sacrificial, this isn't like Old Testament Bible where the Jews would sacrifice something to God. Now, that wasn't all wrong. That was actually a good thing. What we're talking about today is giving up our own goods, our own needs, our own rights for the sake of someone else. Giving up what we desire for what someone else desires. Let's take a look here at a couple of verses. Verse 18. This is Paul speaking about himself. He says, "Even as I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Paul's showing his example to the Philippians. He's like, hey, guys, I pour my life, my energy, my prayer out for you. I'm not with you in person. I'm in prison. But I pray for you. I labor for you. I care and will lay down my life. What's interesting is he uses language from the Jewish tradition. If I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. In the Old Testament, the law prescribed that if you sacrificed an animal on the altar, you could also have a drink offering that you poured over the top of the sacrifice. And it was like pouring it out. You didn't get it. God got it, was the idea. Paul's basically saying, you, Philippians, you are sacrificing yourselves. You're giving of yourselves, of your money. I will pour my life out for you. Paul elsewhere talks about, in different places, how he would gladly spend and be spent for a church's sake. Paul knew how to sacrifice for the sake of someone else. He knew how to pour out his life. And this verse says he did it gladly. He rejoiced in it, in being able to give his life for the good of others. Let's look at another one here. Verse 25 about Epaphroditus. It's just a short part here. It says, "I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." Isn't that nice? Epaphroditus came, ministered. Paul's like, I'm going to send you back. And the reason why is because he didn't want them to be really sad thinking Epaphroditus might have died. Paul cared about them. He sacrificed his relationship with Epaphroditus for the sake of the Philippians. But we're done talking about Paul. Let's talk about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my needs. And later on, it goes on to talk about how he nearly died for the work of Christ. Epaphroditus was willing to sacrifice his own needs, really his own life, for the sake of loving Paul. And ultimately, it wasn't just to love Paul, it was to love Jesus through loving Paul. Paul basically gives him five words. He's my brother. I have a common sympathy with him, a common nature with him. He's my brother. He's my worker. I have a common work. We're laboring together in the same direction. Soldier, we have a common danger, a common toil, a common suffering, that this isn't an easy job. There's things we're going to give up in following Christ. He uses the word messenger, which actually translates, it's actually the word for apostle, but it was used many different ways, and minister to my needs. He gave of himself to care for Paul. You read about Epaphroditus, you get the sense that he was humble. He was a servant. He gave himself to menial tasks. He wasn't the one out preaching, doing great works for God. He was a servant who decided, I'm going to go to Paul and I'm going to serve him. I'm going to make him great. I don't need to be great. I want to help Paul be great. He was sacrificial in his life. I don't know who you have in your life that you've seen be sacrificial. It's easy to only think about ourselves, right? But looking at someone who is sacrificial, they give of their time for you. Who do you call when you are stuck on the side of the road and someone needs to save you? Obviously, it's Zirkle because he's the one who's always free and has a truck. So that's what you do. You call Zirkle. Who is it that sacrifices of their money when you are in trouble? I know for myself, my parents were a great example of sacrifice. They gave up a lot to make sure, not that I had a good life, but that I would know Jesus. Paul shares that those we follow should be sacrificial toward others, not thinking that they were important. Our second character quality, this is an interesting one. Similar to sacrificial, but a little different. Concerned for others. Our second one is being concerned for others. You want to talk about what love is. Love, this is one of the essences of love, being actually concerned for others. This is what Paul says about Timothy in verse 20. It says, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. That's really interesting. Being concerned for others, isn't that the hallmark of what Christian life is about? But here's what Paul says. He says, no one else was doing that. No one else cared about the Philippians. All they cared about was themselves, their own lives, maybe their own church. They weren't looking beyond and having a concern and a love outside of themselves. They were looking to their own interests, which is good. We should look to our own interests. But they were not looking to the interests of Jesus. What's Jesus' interest? Jesus' interests are in other people. Jesus is concerned for others. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he came and lived. Jesus poured out his life for the concern of others. Healing, saving, restoring. Paul talks about Timothy in the same way, that that's not just a Jesus idea. We can live that out. Timothy lived that out. Paul says, I have no one like him. He's the only one. He is genuinely concerned for your welfare. Genuinely concerned for your welfare. This is a hallmark of a Christian, is one who's genuinely concerned for others. Not in a judgmental way, but in a loving way, in a, I want what's best for you. I want you to experience life. I want you to know Jesus. If you're going to follow someone with your life, if you're going to look to someone who to be an example, don't look for someone in the church who has a gigantic ministry or who is really successful or really gifted. Those are all okay things. Look for someone who is genuinely concerned for other people. Who is genuinely willing to lay down their lives for the sake of someone else. Similar to sacrificial. Did you know you can be sacrificial and not care about other people? You need both. Talking about Epaphroditus, one author I read said this: it's one thing for a believer to work independently, having everything his own way. It is far more difficult to work with others, to play second fiddle, to allow for individual differences, to submerge one's own desires and opinions for the good of the group. God's not looking for people who work independently, who just serve him on their own. God is looking for those who are willing to be concerned for others, to take second place so someone else can be first. That's what God is interested in. And now we'll take a look at our third thing that I see through this passage here of how we should look to somebody. Third thing is that they should be proven. They should be proven. They've stuck it out. They've been tested and haven't failed. They have been walking with endurance the race God has given them. They haven't quit. They should be proven. Timothy says that, or Paul says this about Timothy in verse 22. It says, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. There's a lot of people that look good in a moment. They may love briefly. They may be sacrificial once. And we say, that's great. There's fruit. Let's look at their lives. But when hard times come, they fall short. They end up being those who walk away, who quit the work of the Lord. Ultimately, those are not people to follow. We want to find people who have proven themselves, proven their worth for the work of God. They've proven their care and concern for others. They've proven that they're willing to lay aside their preferences, their rights, for the sake of someone else. We don't want to follow someone who's just a flash in the pan, a one-hit wonder, if you will. We want someone who's going to stick it out, day in and day out, for their lives. Paul was proven. Epaphroditus was proven. He came, he ministered, he labored near the point of death. He was trustworthy. So in your life, as you're looking around, it's easy with the internet to say, wow, look at all these great speakers. They have a lot of great things to say. But ultimately, do you know their life? Do you know if they've been tested and they've stuck with it? There's story after story after story about a Christian leader who is very gifted in teaching and preaching and going to new places, yet they hadn't truly been tested. They had never had to really prove themselves. And when testing came, they failed time and time again. This happened in the Bible with Paul. Paul took along a disciple with Barnabas on his second journey. His name was John Mark. And John Mark failed. He started on the journey and he left. He didn't go with them. Actually, I was on the first journey. On the second, I don't remember. I should have looked it up. The next time, Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark again, and Paul said, no, I won't do it. He proved himself to be unworthy. He proved that he walked away when things got hard. I'm not sure I want him here. It actually was a great debate between him and Barnabas, and they parted ways over it. It's interesting, is years later, John Mark proved himself. He had failed, but he stood back up. He tried again, and he proved his worth. He proved he was not going to walk away. Though he failed in his youth, he ended up being proven later on. You know, these things are true, too, for who you're going to marry, for those of you who are single or dating or interested in a relationship someday. We talk about this all the time. You should know the person you marry on some level before you marry them because they need to be proven. There's a lot of marriages that start, it seems good right now, but do they have a track record of faith and obedience and continuing on with the Lord when things get hard? Do they have a track record of laying aside their preferences, laying aside their desires for the sake of someone else's good? If you're in love with someone because one time they did one nice thing to someone else, that's probably not proven, okay? I'm just going to throw that out there. You want to find someone that has proven themselves. Same thing is true with those we follow. Whether it's your pastors, whether it's teachers you find online, whether it's men you listen to at conferences, even music you listen to, make sure their lives back up what they say. Make sure that they can prove it. It's not just all word and fluff, it's substance. Who we follow is going to make one of the biggest differences about who we become in Christ. Student will become like their teacher. So we need to make sure our eyes are on the right place. We're looking to the right kinds of people, those who are like Christ. So our conclusion here today, just a reminder that we imitate Christ by observing others. We look to other people's lives to see what is it like to be mature in Christ. There's the old saying that we all know, or we should probably will all know after the end of my teaching, that more is caught than taught. That when we're following an example, there's more we see with our eyes than we hear with our ears about how we are going to live. Make sure you catch from those who are like Christ. At the end of his section, Paul doesn't just say, look to men like this. He says, honor such men. Honor such men. Lift them up. Make sure they know it. Actually, what's interesting is men who are sacrificial and women, men and women who are sacrificial, who are concerned for others and who are proven, aren't always the most confident people. They may not know that they're doing a great job. We should honor them. We should raise them up as an example in our church. There's a lot of examples in our church right now of people who have laid down their lives for others. I just think about many of you in this room right now who are running sound. You guys have laid down your Sunday morning and labored. Austin, Ryan, Aaron, and Yansifo Jack and Nathan, you guys are all here. Nathan Summers, Kara, you guys have been here laying down your own life and preference for others, and that's a good thing. I know you hate me saying that, but whatever. I don't care. I need to honor you. That's what the Bible is telling me here. We look to others in our church who are caring for others. I think of Mike McInnes about how he serves others. He just lays down his own time on his day off to mow people's lawns. It's simple and beautiful. Think about the moms and the dads who lay down their lives and their own interests for their kids, not being selfish at home, but wanting to serve their kids. These are people to honor, those who follow the pattern of Christ and his humility. And we can honor them by imitating them, by observing them, by recognizing that I can live like them. So as we close today, I want to ask you for yourself. How do you line up with these things? in your own life, are you willing to live a sacrificial life? Maybe, and not even when people ask you to do something, just generally laying aside what you want, looking for opportunities to serve others. Are you concerned for others? When you're at home, are you thinking and praying about those in your church or your work or your spheres of influence? And have you been proven? Have you gone out there, stuck your neck out for the sake of following Christ and been tested and shown that, yeah, no, I'm willing to walk through hard times for the Lord? God wants us to be people that are an example to others. He wants us to observe the example in those around us too, to follow those who are walking in the pattern of Christ. I'm really glad that God gave me all of you. I have learned a lot, even from some of you who are younger, of what it looks like to love well, of balancing myself out, my own tendencies, to be more like Christ. Christ has given me you as a gift. I'm thankful for that. Let's make sure we're taking advantage of that gift in each other. So let's pray. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace of this church, of the greater body of Christ throughout the world, Lord, that we can look and learn, see those who have not fallen short. We can see those who do not live in their own self-interest, but for the interests of others, Lord. And I know these are all, they can be hard, heady things, Lord, to wrap our minds around, but Lord, I just pray that you'd help us figure out in our hearts, even this week, helping us to see where we may be self-centered, God, where we may be clinging on to our own desires and rights instead of giving them freely like you did. Lord, where we may be tempted to quit instead of trusting your power. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us and you would give us endurance to become more like Christ. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.